Good morning. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church. I'm John Bullard. I'm an elder here at Hebron, and we welcome everybody who's with us this morning here, and anybody especially who's visiting, and also anybody that might be watching online. So welcome. I have a couple of announcements. First off, you'll notice in the pew card holder in front of you, there are these pew cards. And we would hope that you would, in the spirit of supporting Noah, fill out the card, even if you're a longtime member. This will help Noah get to know who attends regular and our names. And also, most importantly, there is a prayer request box. And that's important to fill out, too, because eventually we will find time and space to pray for one another as a group. So it would be helpful to know any prayer concerns. So please fill these out, and we can help Noah get to know us. And my second announcement is that we are trying to fulfill our yearly obligation with Operation Christmas Child. It's one of our major missions as a church. And we pack the shoe boxes and then we send them off. And it's important when you're buying the supplies for the boxes that maybe the first thing you do is go down the hall right opposite of Holman Hall and check the chart there for supplies and look for these checks, because the items that we no longer need are checked with one of these big black checks. So before you go and purchase anything, check the board and make sure you're not buying something that we no longer need. So that would help us greatly. But please do participate and buy the supplies we need for Operation Christmas Child. And another item that I would like to encourage is for everybody to wear their name tags. This is another way to help Noah get to know us and put the names to the faces. So please, if we can get in the habit of wearing these, that would be great. And if you're a visitor and plan to visit again, let us know and we'll get you a name tag. Thanks.
Thank you.
Please stand and join me in our call to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
The Lord is King. Let the peoples tremble.
God sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion. God is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great name.
Awesome name.
Holy is he.
The same God who has called us to worship now greets you with these words: Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, the things of this earth, that we may not yet lose the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the grace of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together. Let us pray. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what had become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in the likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, and the new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be open to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Listen now for God's word. And Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As part of my undergraduate course of study, I was required to take a number of classes in the humanities department, one of which was a course in British literature. On the whole, I found this course engaging. I like to read. Many of you have seen my office and the many books that are in there. So I like to read, and I like the study of literature. What I found most challenging is when we move from maybe novels to the study of English poetry. Maybe you've experienced something similar to this. We would read a portion of a poem, and all the words were familiar to me, as a native English speaker. I saw how they constructed a sentence and how it was strung along, but I could never quite for the life of me figure out what they were talking about. It just didn't make any sense. The poem may have been a story, but I had no real context to begin to understand what they were going on about. It didn't help that then the professor would sort of pull an interpretation out of seemingly thin air and give some deep explanation of British politics or the author's love life or something of that sort. The poem just didn't make any sense. If you're anything like me, you may have come away from our scripture reading with a similar sort of feeling. It's a story with familiar elements, but the message is a little unclear in and of itself. There are some friends and some bread, a sleepy, disgruntled neighbor, his children, and a persistent asker. The story sort of makes sense, but the point or the meaning is elusive. We could spend hours trying to pick apart this story to tease out its meaning, much like my British lit professor. We could unpack the cultural significance of bread and hospitality, the social meaning of midnight knocking, the question of friendship and persistence. We could try to even assign meaning to each of the characters. Who are we in this story? Who is God? Even what is the meaning behind these 3 loaves of bread? I feel, though, that not only would this be a waste of our time this morning, I don't think it's what Jesus would have in mind or had in mind when he gave this story in the first place. So our only other option is to look at this parable as a simple story and to understand then whom Jesus told it to. In short, know the context. We find the beginning of our answer at the start of this chapter, chapter 11. One of Jesus' disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus was off praying with his disciples, and they wanted to know, how do we pray? John the Baptist had taught his disciples how to pray. And so it's only right that we, as followers of our rabbi, should know how to pray. This is where Jesus gives what would become the most famous prayer, the one we say every week, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, and so on. Following the giving of the Lord's Prayer is our parable text this morning. So it is that our parable is part of Jesus' larger teaching on prayer. Aha, we may say to ourselves, now we know what the parable's about. But not so fast. Even knowing that the parable is about prayer doesn't necessarily make it any clearer. For though we may go straight to a sort of moral lesson or a spiritualized lesson about being a persistent prayer, we're still left with the question of the disgruntled neighbor, the one who would not even come to the door out of friendship. In the moral lesson of persistent praying, we become the one who is knocking, right? The one who is looking for bread. But then who does the sleeping neighbor represent? If we stick to a simple moral lesson, we may begin to ask, is God like this neighbor? Does he not care for us enough to even come to our aid? But if we just annoy God just enough with prayer, God will eventually give in. So we are left in a similar position where we began. The story doesn't make sense of the God who we know in Jesus Christ. So we must look further. Jesus continued after our parable, stating, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you." He speaks of asking, seeking, knocking, and proclaims that all who ask will receive, seekers will find, those who knock, the door will be opened to them. Jesus asked his disciples if they would give their children a bad gift when they asked for a good one. If they, even they who are evil, give what is good, how much more would the Father, who is all good, how much more would God give to those who ask? Jesus shows the disciples that they can ask and ask for good because of the one of whom they are asking. Herein lies the key to our parable. In stating, "So I say to you," in verse 9, Jesus is making a comparison. The parable stands as a foil to the one of whom the disciples would pray. In teaching the disciples about prayer, he teaches them and now us about the character of the God to whom they pray, our Father. The disgruntled neighbor would not get up to provide for his friend even out of friendship. How much more will the God who calls us beloved children provide in our hour of need? The neighbor only gives after persistent and shameless asking. How much more will our Father, who is most willing, how much more will he give to us when we call? The promise of Jesus' parable is that our God is a God who hears us when we cry and answers when we ask. We can pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," because God is a generous provider. We can pray, "Deliver us from evil," because God is indeed our deliverer. We can pray, "Forgive us our sins," because God is a merciful Father. We can pray, "Thy kingdom come," because we know God is Lord of all. God is even our Lord. We can ask, seek, and knock, and we can do it all persistently and shamelessly because we know that the God to whom we pray is more willing and more generous than any disgruntled neighbor or evil gift giver. It is the character of our God which should spur us on to pray. Our God, in God's very nature, our God is one who answers prayer and gives truly good gifts. It is the character of our God. That's what this parable is talking about. It's the character of our God that should move us to pray. This does not mean, however, that we will know exactly how God will answer prayer or give us good gifts. When the topic of prayer comes up, it often moves into questions about how God will answer our prayers. Will God answer my prayer the way I want God to answer it? How do I effectively pray to get the most out of this relationship with God? How do I get the desired result? But see, prayer is not a mechanism or a formula to get out what we want, but it's an act of relationship. It's an act of relationship with the God who loves us. Jesus' parable here makes no claim about the how, but instead about God's character and the affection he has towards us who pray. We should be moved to pray not because we think we can get something out of it or affect our own will in the world, but because we have come to know and to love the one to whom we pray. The very character of our God should be the reason for our persistent praying. So maybe you find yourself today as one tiring in prayer. You've been praying and praying for your current situation, maybe a personal trial or a health concern or the condition of a loved one, and you don't know if God is even listening anymore. I say to you, pray on. For your God is a God who hears your prayers and is always near, especially in times of hardship. Maybe you find yourself today reluctant to pray because you don't feel that your concerns are worthy to bring before a holy God. I say to you, pray on, for your God cares for you. And from the least to the greatest of your concerns, he cares. And asks that you ask of him. So ask, seek, knock, pray boldly and shamelessly because your God hears you and will answer. God is your good Father whose very nature moves him to act with care towards you and to give you his good gifts. God calls you to ask of him, to lay down your cares at God's feet that he would answer. Pray boldly, because the God to whom you pray is to be trusted with your cares. Even the disgruntled neighbor gave after persistent asking. How much more readily will your Father give you when you ask? Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, you care for us, your covenant people, and hold our concerns from the greatest to the least in your loving care. Give us boldness in prayer, knowing that in Jesus Christ we have a true mediator who is ever presenting before you our intercessions, our supplications. Hear now the prayers of your people as we lift to you our cares. Father of mercies, you govern the world and all therein. Grant justice and peace to all the nations, that the lowly would be lifted up and the self-exalted brought low. We pray for an end to the political violence and strife around the world, but especially for our partners in the country of Niger, that there would be peace and stability in that land. We also pray for an end to violence in the Middle East, that a new era would dawn where neighbor would join with neighbor in building peace. We pray for an end to division in our own nation, that you would turn us away from our own agendas and to instead seek the common good, that you'd give inspiration and humility to our leaders, that they may govern justly and may seek after your will above all else. And we pray that you would give us wisdom, especially as we come up on an election, that we may choose wisely and seek your will for those who would govern us. And this day, we also pray for all of those who are serving, particularly in hospitals. We pray for our nurses and doctors this day, for chaplains, and all those who in some way give up a Sunday so that they may give care to those in need. Jesus, friend of sinners, you have redeemed a people for yourself and have given us the Spirit to help us live your way. Empower your church not to get so bogged down in the things of this world that we forget our purpose and our mission, but help us to live with joy proclaiming the good news. Lord, we pray for those whom you have called as mission workers around the world who seek to serve in communities of faith and in contexts vastly different from our own. We pray for our partners in Frontier Fellowship and for their work in creating and sustaining indigenous churches around the world. We pray that you would prosper their work, that they may go where you are guiding them. We pray for our friends, our brothers, and our sisters in the Evangelical Church of the Republic of Niger. We pray that there may be a revival among them as they have asked us to pray, and that you'd grant them perseverance, especially in this time of political strife. And Lord, we lift up to you this, our community, which you have called Hebron Presbyterian Church, that we may be a house of prayer for all people, that all may find their welcome here, and that you would help us to keep in step with the Spirit, that we may follow where you are already leading. Holy Advocate, you call us to entrust our lives to you as you are the source of our very life and strength. Grant healing to those in our community this day who are broken in mind or body or spirit, and give comfort to the afflicted. We also commend into your care those we name before you in the quiet of our hearts. Blessed Trinity, we lift to you these our prayers, knowing you hear and will answer, and asking for your kingdom to come, using the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having been nourished with God's word, we turn with gratitude and faith and give of our abundance back to the work of God's church in the world. I invite the ushers to come forward.
Where your precious blood.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, you have given to us in abundance, and so we give back just a portion of that abundance to the work of your church. Bless and sanctify these, our gifts, that they may be used for your glory and for the proclamation of the gospel in this community and in the world. Through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So go from this place in the knowledge that our God, in God's very nature, is one who cares for you and who wants to hear your prayers. So pray boldly, and in doing so, know and love the one who loved you first. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and always. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Friends, I neglected just two announcements. We are starting today, we're kicking off our Niger scholarship drive. As you know, this is really dear to this, our community, and it is something that we want to continue to do in years to come. As you know, as I prayed, and as you may know, there's been a lot of political turmoil in Niger, and so a number of the schools have lost some of their resources because of it. And so the scholarships that we give through this drive will help even further this year than probably any other year, because it will make up for a lack that is already existing. In your pew and around the church, you will find the new 2024 leaflet. Our desire this year is that it would go beyond the walls of this congregation, and that you would give these out to people that you know and who may have a heart for service, or who maybe have a particular desire to help outside of their own communities and their own circles. So please take one of these. Really pray and discern what you would be willing to give for this scholarship drive, but also give in support through people outside this community. I will say that one of our guests from last week has already given and pledged for one child. So we're already starting this outside of our community, so let's keep it strong. And second, join us for fellowship just now in Holman Hall. That's right. Yes, the Smith baptism is happening on Saturday at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary.
I think it's 10:30.
Well, then Vanessa's told me wrong. So 10:30, be here in the sanctuary. This is a baptism of our church. It's a little irregular that it's not happening on a Sunday, but we are the church that is baptizing this child. So your presence here is really key, showing up and supporting. So, what? Okay, between 10:30 and 11, I will be here at 10 o'clock to open the doors. I won't keep you any longer. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.